Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. You know, every time I read that opening statement, I think I might have to add the words who chip away at the moments of your life. I think I might have to add who chip away at the freedoms of your life as well. Welcome to episode 98. Pros take Logic Avenue, amateurs take the psychopath. Thanks, Overkill. And how about that new intro, huh? That voice of God was the voice of friend and fellow Ohioan and fellow broadcaster Chuck Matthews, production director at Oh Wow Radio in Cleveland, Ohio. And by the way, Oh Wow was the first pro thing ever mentioned on this podcast back in August of 2018. For those of you who abandoned terrestrial radio years ago, ohwow.radio. It's a free app you can download on your phone or computer that does radio right. It's a free app and it actually works. They call themselves the sweet spot between classic rock and indie rock. It's been developed by legendary radio programmer and Northeast Ohio radio legend John Gorman. The app works. It's free. They don't sell your info. You don't get blasted with emails. They're not beholden to media giants who tell them what to play, like certain media conglomerates out there. You can request songs, even vote whether you like a song or not. And they've got specialized programming on the weekends for acoustic music fans, blues fans, live music. Oh Wow is a great soundtrack to your day. So again, special thanks to Chuck Matthews, a Marine who served our country, and we thank him for his service. You got some no amateur swag coming your way, Chuck. All right, now this show is blowing up thanks to all of you, of course, so please keep spreading the gospel. You can follow me on Instagram at LouSantini3, the home for censorship that is Twitter at LouSantini, and on Farcebook at LouSantini Entertainment. And please subscribe to my LouSantini YouTube page where you can see past podcast previews and previews for upcoming episodes every single week on Thursdays, and listen to the entire new episode each Sunday at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. Now, speaking of Instagram, I got a very nice message on Instagram Messenger by a gentleman who, quote, likes anonymity, so I'm going to, of course, respect that, and he sent me a link to another Instagram account that confronts amateurs who abandon their grocery carts in the middle of parking lots called Cart Narcs. It's a funny Instagram account with photos and videos of amateurs being caught on camera, and the anonymous fan of the show said this: "It pisses me off. People in this country would rather argue and have someone on their side rather than just do the right thing." I'm sure he's speaking of the state of the U.S. right now and how many are not on the side of common sense and logic. And he goes on to say, in this case, it's something as simple as putting the shopping cart in the designated spot. I'll admit I'm guilty of this, but as time goes on, you just humble yourself and just do the right thing, at least a good, decent human being with common sense. I'm not a new listener, so I'm sure you've had an episode on your podcast about something similar to this. I haven't heard every single episode, but I'll get there. I listen to all your new episodes every Monday morning. Really starts my Monday off right. Thanks for what you do. Tell you what, thank you, sir, not only for the time you took and the kind words, but for your insight and common sense that is right on point with what I've been saying. As a stubborn man, I can speak from experience in that people are so stuck in their ways and have committed so long to virtue signaling, hashtags, and doing what's popular, that now they're stuck and worried that they're going to lose friends, fans, likes, followers, and face by leaving Amateur Nation and going pro. And his message could not have come at a better time, because we will be discussing this further on this very episode. Here's what's happening in Amateur Nation. Topic number one. Have you ever not liked someone for no good reason? Like, you can't put your finger on it. You meet him for the first time, and you're like, I don't know why. I just don't like that guy. He or she may have done nothing wrong to you. They didn't say anything off-putting. And you may never even see that person again. And you know what? You're not a bad person for feeling that way. Sometimes people don't like each other. Sure, you have to respect your fellow man. Respect meaning acknowledging that he or she has a right to exist peacefully and peaceably. They didn't wrong you, so you leave him alone. Kind of like, you know what, I don't have anything against that guy. I may not like him, but it's all right. All these lame sentiments that amateurs were beating to death that I talked about in my earlier days of this podcast with the, yeah, man, you do you. And the advertisers, I'm looking at you, Diet Coke, that shove down our throats, you do you. Yes, you do you, as long as it's not hurting anyone, mentally, physically, emotionally. However, now, you do you means you do like us, Amateur Nation, or you do you, as long as Amateur Nation approves. People not liking people, just 'cause, that exists in everyday life. Everywhere. I have people like that that I run into in the entertainment world that are just like that. These men or women that, they've done nothing wrong to me. I don't see them outside of a professional setting, a comedy club, auditions, sets, whatever. We exchange pleasantries, maybe even shake hands. No hate, just you get that feeling. You might work with someone like that in your office or wherever you work. I'm not talking about the amateurs in your life. I'm just talking about people who you just can't put your finger on it and you don't have any dirt on them. It's just your gut, and I'm here to tell you, that's okay. That's normal. That's human. As long as both parties treat each other with common sense, manners, and good social skills, everyone can breathe easy, right? So that being said, if we're not liking people that we do know, even though they didn't do anything wrong per se, why do you think we're going to ever eliminate racism? And believe me, I'd love to never have to say or hear that word again. Stay with me. Judging someone, and worse, hating someone or acting violently against someone or a group of people simply because they are of a different race or culture or because they're different from you is not only racist, it's absurd. In the most literal sense of the word, you have no frame of reference of them, their race, their culture, their life, their accomplishments, their good qualities, etc. They've done nothing to you. And for some reason, racists still hate and exist and always will. But my logic here is, if the average person of any race, age, sexuality, religion, political affiliation can simply not like someone upon meeting them for no other reason because of their gut feeling, maybe even more than once just because, how in the hell do amateurs think they're going to cure someone or a world of people who take it to the ultimate level of ignorance? There's always going to be someone who's going to be racist just because. Accept it. They were brought up wrong. They're clueless. Of course it doesn't make it right. And as I said in a previous episode, maybe something will shake loose someday where something profound happens to them and their eyes are suddenly opened. It does happen. There's been movies done about it. But hashtags, and by the way, those movies based on true stories, to be clear. But hashtags, slogans, yelling, screaming, murals, vandalism, sexy girls with their tits and asses hanging out, holding up signs, reading anti-racism is sexy, toppling statues, even various companies that are virtue signaling, ain't doing nothing. It's all surface. In fact, it's probably emboldening racists even more. When you have 8 billion people on the earth, someone's going to be racist. And by the way, racism exists in every culture. Make no mistake, every country, every era, every age group. But it does not mean that racism is everywhere 100% and that everyone is racist. You know what also exists everywhere? Amateuritis, stupidity, attention whoring, alcoholism, drug addiction, domestic violence, inflated egos, texting and driving, chewing with open mouths, people playing music and videos on speakerphone way too loudly in public. Why can't amateurs deal with the bad things on a case-by-case basis? Why do amateurs assume all people are the bad things that I listed above? Few is not all. Some is not all. Even the majority is not all. Only all is all. The hyperactive woke amateurs, especially the ones who riot and participate in cancel culture, need to stop punishing the entire country and planet every time they see, hear, or experience something they don't like. They're pissy, and they think for some reason because someone you don't know in an area you've never been doesn't like you and you think is keeping you from, I don't know, having money, happiness, and living your best life, grow a dick and either ignore it, confront that person or organization rather than making sure the whole world is put on notice, inconvenienced, harassed, annoyed, attacked, or punished. Amateur nations' problems are not the world's problems. Amateur nations' problems are not the problems of pros. Someone cheats on you, do you wage war on all members of the sex that cheated on you? Your boss fires you without cause, do you wage war on all companies? Now, of course, some of the bad things that I mentioned earlier are problems of varying degrees and of serious, and they plague society. Domestic violence, drug and alcohol addiction, and hell, I say at the top of every episode, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled, we're seeing a lot of that, drama queen, definitely a lot of that, victim types, holy shit, who chip away at the moments of your life because they have no self-awareness or common sense, manners, or social skills, and they are disturbing the flow of the pros, your life, you listeners, you pros. And sadly, like racists, those people will always exist. The same way racists will always exist. The trick, so to speak, is to call them out individually when they happen, and more importantly, when they do indeed exhibit behavior. The same way I say what makes an amateur is one thing and one thing only, their behavior, handle it. Whether it means calling the police, hiring an attorney, going to human resources, talking to your spouse or significant other, reporting someone to the proper authority related to the infraction. You know, with all the protests and the rioting going on, you notice the rioters were never going head-to-head against people with opposing views, right? Sure, there were a handful of people standing up to Antifa and the rioters because they'd had enough, but it wasn't like, the Jets versus the Sharks. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about gangs. I'm just talking about Team A versus Team B are going to meet in this public park and they're going to battle it out. No. What I'm saying is there was not a clash between Party A and Party B, the amateurs and the pros, meeting in a public place to talk, argue, maybe even fight and clash. There wasn't a time for these two belief systems to battle. Listen carefully. The rioters and protesters were and are literally shouting amongst themselves and often at each other until the police show up, and then they have the nerve to act surprised when they get caught on the very behavior they're supposedly protesting against. Look in the mirror. You protesters, you're the racists. You're the ones full of hate, anger, violence, stealing, looting, being destructive, committing crimes against innocent civilians that literally have done nothing to you personally. You're the ones who are unwilling to listen to reason. You're the ones ignoring simple facts and statistics when it comes to victims of the few bad cops. And yes, I said few. Considering, going by 2018 statistics, there were approximately 687,000 cops in the U.S., you're telling me they were all bad, criminal, crooked, racist? It's never okay that a cop is on the right side of the law and commits unwarranted assault and or murder. Duh. The same way it's never okay that a person who has made their living as a public servant is a multimillionaire. The same way it's not okay that a pedophile works with children in a school or a church. But not all public servants are crooked and on the take. Not all teachers and members of the clergy are pedophiles, of course. The people who are not racist and not protesting, they have been at their jobs all this time during the pandemic and shutdowns, whether they're working from home or managing to get some time at their place of employment. They're out there getting along with other races, getting things done. And after watching hundreds of various videos online of protesters screaming and being disrespectful and violent towards police and the general public that was minding their own business, it's very apparent as to who the bad people are. Topic number two. All right, so this topic is kind of a twofer. I was reading Yahoo Finance. That sounds credible, right? Way to think ahead, Yahoo. When they first started their search engine, they ever thought, well, we might have a finance department. Maybe we shouldn't call ourselves Yahoo. Anyway, an article mentioned that, quote, because of coronavirus fears, many people have switched to using credit cards and mobile payments to avoid handling money. Meanwhile, the shutdown also forced some businesses to close that would normally help keep coins moving. Forbes.com says this isn't a coin shortage, it's a circulation disruption. Someone by the name of Yiming Ma, I don't know if that's a man or woman, I'm sorry, I tried to get context from the article, I'm just not sure. Assistant professor in the finance division of the Columbia Business School says, quote, businesses that primarily take coins, such as laundromats, vending machines, and car washes, likely stopped operating during the pandemic due to social distancing and stay-at-home measures. These businesses are usually key components in getting coins back to banks to redistribute back into the economy. Since they weren't receiving coins, the flow of them back into the economy has been significantly reduced. If you really think there's a coin shortage because they're concerned about touching coins due to coronavirus, you're an amateur and also easily duped. So I guess paper money is okay then. Touching a credit card? Oh, but you don't exchange that, you just swipe it. All right, don't shit on my cupcake and call it frosting. While I understand the logic that Ma said, Yiming Ma, it does make sense. How convenient that by using credit and debit cards more often, they can track your every purchase and your movements even more than they already do. And for more information on that, see just about every other fucking episode of this podcast. Not to mention, how am I supposed to tip a stripper now? Not that I was doing that with coins, but if we become a cashless society, am I gonna swipe my credit card or debit card through the crack of her ass? Your wife will definitely know where you've been. Hey, why does your wallet smell funny? And I guess we better get rid of all doorknobs, since we all touch doorknobs and door handles and all objects at the grocery store. And anything that you can touch, we should probably just burn all things. Enough with the contactless crap. The virus doesn't spread that way. From the CDC, which amateurs love to use as their Bible, quote, coronaviruses are thought to be spread most often by respiratory droplets. Although the virus can survive for a short period on some surfaces, it is unlikely to be spread from domestic or international mail, products, or packaging. Oh, it doesn't say coins. Fine, it doesn't say coins. Keep living in fear, stay inside, wear a helmet. Okay, so I guess if some amateur coughs directly onto your coins and you, like an idiot, touch the coins immediately and put them in your amateur hands and in your mouth or up your nose or in your eyes, yes, you're an idiot. Speaking of amateur, this headline from a Fox affiliate in Orlando, Florida, Fox35Orlando.com. Florida Department of Health says some labs have not reported negative COVID-19 results. After Fox 35 News noticed errors in the state's report on positivity rates, the Florida Department of Health said that some laboratories have not been reporting negative test result data to the state. Countless labs have reported a 100% positivity rate, which means every single person tested was positive. Other labs had very high positivity rates. Fox 35 News found that testing sites like one local Centricare reported that 83 people were tested and all tested positive. Then NCF Diagnostics in Alachua, I don't know how to pronounce the name of that city, Alachua, reported 88% of tests were positive. How could that be? I'm still reading from the article. Fox 35 News investigated these astronomical numbers, contacting every local location mentioned in the report. The report showed that Orlando Health had a 98% positivity rate. However, when Fox 35 News contacted the hospital, they confirmed errors in the report. Orlando Health's positivity rate is only 9.4%, not 98%, as in the report. Now, I'm no mathologist, but back to the article. The report also showed that Orlando's Veterans Medical Center had a positivity rate of 76%. A spokesperson for the VA told Fox 35 News on Tuesday that this does not reflect their numbers and that the positivity rate for the center is actually 6%. Do I have to say it? Yes, the numbers are going up, mostly in places where rioters and protesters were allowed to do their thing. But keep telling yourself that it's those pesky restaurants and hair salons, amateurs. You know, those hair salons that hold 10,000 people. Oh, and this will never go away, by the way. Like SARS, bird flu, and the good old-fashioned regular flu, the common cold, hang nails, stub toes, and the myriads of other ways people get sick, injured, and or die. And no, this does not mean that all testing centers are fraudulent, corrupt, and make mistakes. But it does prove my point that yes, even in the essential worker world of medicine, mistakes and fraud do happen. The eyes of the pros are wide open. And by the way, I know people have a knee-jerk reaction when they hear the word, oh, Fox News. Put your dicks back in, amateurs. Look, I have quoted news sources from everywhere in my book and on this podcast. USA Today, CNN, MSNBC, local affiliates, newspapers I've never even heard of, and yes, Fox. I try to absorb all news, but I also am educated, and I have common sense. I live my life by common sense and logic. And when I see certain news agencies in the mainstream media clearly working from no other place but emotion and corruption and trying to be a disturbance rather than solving problems and not on the side of common sense, you showed your hand. Adios. But I still keep an open mind because not all news is fake. Not all news is legit. Not all news sources are wrong or have fake news. It's sad that in today's world we have to pick and choose. You couldn't just turn on the news and see what's going on and trust that the usually boring, bland male or female news anchor simply read off the teleprompter. Now we have to get that, not only that newscaster's bias and their inflamed opinions, but also the opinion of the news source, whether it's a newspaper or a television station or a network. Pros have to be more vigilant than ever to pick and choose the news they feel they are getting is accurate. And while I don't trust any news source 100%, I just don't. I think that's a good thing. I trust certain sources more than others, certain news anchors more than others, certain sources more than others. There was a time, long before I was old enough to really understand the news, when Walter Cronkite was, quote, the most trusted man in America. And I also think that's kind of dangerous to put all the nation's trust into one guy. So I think we need to find that balance. But in the meantime, pros, keep your eyes open. Yes, always consider the source. Always. But once you get past that, sit there and go, that's kind of common sense and logic. And that's the side I'm on. I think, I don't speak for anyone here, nor everyone, not one person. I don't speak for anybody. But I would like to think that pros go by common sense first. Topic number three. I'm not going to lie, this last topic is personal. However, this could apply to any one of my listeners, maybe even you listening right now. I'm hearing a lot of talk about this topic from friends and strangers' posts that I see on social media. And I can hear the sadness and disappointment in their posts, even if I don't know them. Before we dive in, here are two quotes to give you context that I recently stumbled upon. The first was uncredited. The quote said, "The more you find yourself, the more friends you'll lose." And I might tag that with, "And if you lose them after you find yourself, they weren't really your friends to begin with." The second quote I found was from Thomas Jefferson, you know, that asshole who helped found the United States and wrote that stupid Declaration of Independence. What a jerk. Anyway, sarcasm aside, he said this, "I never consider a difference of opinion in politics, in religion, in philosophy as a cause for withdrawing from a friend." To my social media friends who disagreed and have been disagreeing with my posts, and my podcast episodes, and my take on all the fear-mongering, mask musings, riots, virtue signaling, etc., and then muted me, blocked me, or unfriended me, while I absolutely respect that as your right, and I prefer those actions over harsh words being exchanged that you can't take back or burning a bridge, how dare you judge me in thinking that because I think independently, logically, with common sense, and am able to separate the emotion from it and ask questions, and more importantly, motives, and refuse to just simply go along with the sheep, and as a result, somehow that makes me a bad person after I've always treated you with common sense manners and good social skills? That's on you. I do have plenty of friends, both social media friends and real life friends, who I know we don't see eye to eye on all the above mentioned things, and yet, guess what? We get along fine because we either A, don't talk about it, thereby not causing any undue tension, but because we also respect each other's political beliefs and social beliefs and philosophies, or B, acknowledge it. And here comes the shocker, agree to disagree, and go to the bank, more or less, of our friendship and make withdrawals on the years of goodwill, friendship, happy times, times where we leaned on each other, weddings, birthdays, advice, working together, etc. We know how we have always treated each other and realize that just because we have different political and social worldviews and philosophies, it doesn't change the fact that we've always treated each other as if none of that mattered, because it didn't. It's not personal. That's called normal. Pro. People don't have to agree on everything to be friends or lovers or even be married or simply coexist. But if you can only be friends, be it virtual or for real, only with people that have your exact same opinions on the shutdowns, masks, politics, causes, philosophies, good luck with that. Sure, it's nice to be around like-minded people and friends. But as long as the people I meet and are friends with treat me with common sense, good manners, and social skills, we're solid. One last thing. Of the two of us, who's the bad person? Who's the hypocrite? And I don't even think that you're a bad person, you who have muted, blocked, or unfriended me. These are emotional times, and I'm a very emotional man. So I need to calm my emotions with facts, digging, checking, comparing, and using common sense and logic. Amateurs run on pure emotion and trying to fit in, be popular, get attention, get likes, get followers. The right thing isn't always popular, and everything that is popular is not always the right thing. Time now for some quickies. They're short and sweet, like I like my women. Here we go. I found the new slogan for Seattle. Here it is. You ready? Seattle. No wonder Kurt Cobain killed himself. Amateurs, aren't you tired of being afraid yet? One of my new favorite games is called How Fast Can I Change the Channel As Soon As I See Dr. Anthony Keebler L. Fauci on my screen. My record so far is 0.0004 seconds, which is the same percentage number of our chance of dying from coronavirus in the United States. You know, we pros live in a world where expressing the sentiment all lives matter is now seen as a bad thing and racist. That makes sense. Time now for three pro things. Three things that are done right. Number one. Triple Frontier. It's a movie I saw on Netflix. Really good. Great action. I've been in this action movie kick for a while. Unpredictable plot twists. Here's the synopsis. Loyalties are tested when five former Special Forces operatives reunite to steal a drug lord's fortune, unleashing a chain of unintended consequences. It's also a great story about what money does to people. Ben Affleck and Oscar Isaac star, but my favorite cast member is Pedro Pascal from the crime series Narcos. That dude can act. You know what? He's not like the typical badass either. He kind of looks like, this is going to sound mean, Burt Reynolds. Not as attractive younger brother when Burt Reynolds was in his heyday, but he's just becoming one of those actors where if he's in it, I'm watching. This guy's got some subtleties that I just love this dude. But check it out. It's called Triple Frontier. It's on Netflix. Number two. Okay, I ran across this post on Facebook. It's been reposted a jillion times. Sadly, it's uncredited and anonymous, but it's chock full of common sense, so I'm just going to quote it directly. Some of the sentiments that are in this I've mentioned on this show, and many you've heard from other pros. Here we go. It's just a mask. It's just a vaccine. In 4 months, the U.S. transformed into an obedient socialist country. Government dictated what events are acceptable to attend. Violent protests that instill fear are okay, but church services, family funerals, and patriotic celebrations are dangerous, and you bought it without a fight. Standing in a graduation line is a safety hazard. Small businesses were forced to close, but crowds to support the corporate money machine at Walmart, Lowe's, and Home Depot are okay. Come on, it's just a mask and safety precautions. How about a little hush money? Here's $2,400 that we stole out of your paycheck in the first place. Enjoy. Buy something with it from a big corporation. Cash is dirty. We can't give change. There's a coin shortage. Use your card. In 4 months, they convinced you to use a traceable card for everything. In less than 4 months, government closed public schools, then restructured education under the guise of public safety. In less than 4 months, our government demonstrated how easily people assimilate to guidelines that have no scientific premise whatsoever when you are fearful. In less than 4 months, our government successfully instilled fear in a majority of the population in America that allows them to control every aspect of your life, including what you eat, where you go, who you see, and your toilet paper. And the most dangerous and terrifying part? People are not afraid of the government who removed their freedom. They're afraid of their neighbors, family, and friends. And they hate those who won't comply. It's absolutely terrifying to me that so many people don't question authority. They are willing to surrender their critical thinking skills and independence. They just gave up without thinking, without a fight. Do you know what's coming next? It's just a vaccine. Come on, it's for the greater good. Wait until you're told that you can't enter any store or business without proof of the COVID-19 vaccine. Wait until you can't go to public events or get on a plane without proof of receiving the vaccine. To everyone that doesn't believe this is possible, do you understand that government successfully dictated to people when they were allowed to be outside, where they were allowed to go, and how their children will be educated in less than 4 months? And that a majority of the population followed blindly because they were told to do so. You're kidding yourself if you think this behavior won't be repeated with a vaccine or whatever the next step is. I don't follow politics. Who cares about that stuff? I don't like to think about it. They got you without a thought, without a fight, just like France, just like Russia, just like China. Welcome, comrade. Again, original author unknown, but a shitload of common sense there. And you know what's sad? You know, we fought like crazy to get democracy in the United States, declared ourselves separate from England. We've been celebrated. We're way past the bicentennial back in the 70s. And in 4 months, amateurs are just letting it happen. That was pro. All right, third one. Here we go. Third pro thing. Do you have young kids? Do you want an inexpensive, hard-to-break, quiet toy for them? A toy that inspires not only imagination, but could make them smarter and get them on a lucrative career path? Get them Hot Wheels. This little blurb from Car and Driver magazine is talking about car play, meaning how people who are car fanatics like myself got into cars. And the first and only one of, what, two toys I ever played with? It was Hot Wheels, Matchbox, kind of the same thing. Hot Wheels and Frisbees. That's it. My parents always said I was an inexpensive child to raise. My toys didn't make noise. They didn't have a lot of moving parts that broke. They were cheap. They were quiet. And they jacked up my imagination. So here's the article. If you have young kids, get them Hot Wheels. That's usually my go-to gift for my married friends who have children once they're about 2 years old and they're past the age where they put things in their mouths. The article says, according to Joyce Alexander, Dean of the College of Education and Human Development at Texas A&M University, the way kids play can be organized into four categories. Number one is procedural play, structured around rules and manifests as an interest in sports and games. Number two is conceptual play. It's organized around the accumulation of facts and information as well as objects. Number three is creative play, based in the exploration of flexible materials like Legos or art supplies. And number four is dramatic play, which consists of role-playing, in which the child is central to the story and toys are props. And boy, that was me playing with Hot Wheels as a kid. The article says, some of the kids interested in cars fall into conceptual play because they're interested in collecting facts about brands or models or engines, Alexander says. And sometimes children with car interests fall into dramatic play because they're pretending to be race car drivers and racing and crashing with their friends. Notably, Alexander tells us that kids who gravitate towards these two subsets of play tend to have stronger cognitive skills than children in the other groupings. Not that you need more evidence to know that car-loving kids and adults are geniuses. Fight Amateur Nation by telling your friends about Amateur Nation, the podcast the world needs. And it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. Go to Amazon to download my book, Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills, or send them to lousantini.com where you can find all my social media and you can email me from there too. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
gonna miss you.